This is John from the Free Gift from God podcast, and I'm continuing on with the episodes that I've been doing on this survey that I did last year. Now, in the last five episodes, we looked at the issues that were concerning Christians in their own personal walk, and I've covered all of those. Now, in this episode, I'd like to move forward, though, because the second question I asked all of these Christians in this survey that I ran last year on my website, which is freegiftfromgod.com, was what did they feel was the number one major issue affecting the church or their biggest concern with the church? And it was actually quite fascinating, the range of responses that I got. The most frequent issue that was raised was that Christians are concerned with false teaching and false teachers within the church. And this represents one in five Christians. So one in five Christians is concerned about false teaching or false teachers in the church. Now, that's an incredibly high number. Now, when I look at this, there are two issues that actually really jump out at me about this. The teaching is false, but it's believed to be true. Or the teaching is true, but it's believed to be false. And this is not an uncommon thing. It's happened many times in history. Let me give you a couple of examples. Galileo was championing the concept of what they called heliocentrism. Now, heliocentrism is the idea that the sun is at the centre of the solar system rather than the earth, as was believed by many people in his time. Now, Galileo met with significant opposition from astronomers who doubted that the sun was at the centre of the solar system because of the absence of an observed stellar parallax, whatever that might be. The matter was investigated, though, in the Roman Inquisition in 1615, which concluded that heliocentrism was foolish and absurd in philosophy and formally heretical, since it explicitly contradicts in many places the sense of Holy Scripture. So the church at the time actually believed that the earth was at the centre of the solar system, and they stood against Galileo quite significantly and quite violently against him in relation to the fact that he believed that, no, it was the sun that was at the centre of the solar system. And Galileo later defended his views in a dialogue concerning the two chief world systems. That was the paper or the book that he put out at the time. It was called Dialogue Concerning the Two Chief World Systems, and he put that out in 1632. And it appeared in that time that he was attacking Pope Urban VIII, and thus he was tried by the Inquisition, found vehemently suspect of heresy because of his belief that the sun was the centre of the solar system, and forced to recant. And he spent the rest of his life under house arrest because he had put forward a truth that we know to be true today, but it was believed as false. So here we have the second of those issues I raised before: people believing something that is true to be false. And the reverse of that is where something false is believed as truth. And an example of that, hundreds of years ago, they used to do a process of bloodletting. Physicians at the time would let blood out of your system for many, many different reasons, and as a treatment for many of the conditions that came upon human beings. There were two concepts in this process of bloodletting, and they were put forth by Galen of Pergamum during the time of the Roman Empire. And there were two key concepts in his system of bloodletting. The first was that the blood was created and then used up. It didn't circulate, and so it could stagnate in the extremities. That's in your fingers and hands and so on and so forth. And if it stagnated, well, obviously, you know, stagnant water's not good for you, so stagnant blood's probably not good for you either. The second of his two key concepts was that the humoral balance, and they used to call all the different liquids within the body, and there were four of them they talked about, the four humours being blood, phlegm, black bile and yellow bile being urine. And the second concept was that the humoral balance was the basis of illness or good health. The four humours, blood, phlegm, black bile and yellow bile, related to the four Greek classical elements of air, water, earth and fire, respectively. Now, Galen believed that blood was the dominant humour and the one in most need of control. In order to balance the humours, a physician would then, therefore, either remove excess blood, and they call it plethora, from the patient, or give them things like an emetic to induce vomiting or a diuretic to increase and to induce urination. They thought that by these various processes, they could balance all of the humours in your body. The strange thing about bloodletting, it was practiced right up into parts of the early 20th century. And there are some things where they still let out blood today. I mean, there are some conditions where getting blood out of the system is a necessary thing. But they used to use it for everything. And depending on where they took it, they had certain points around the body where they would let the blood from to affect certain kinds of diseases or sicknesses or whatever. Unfortunately, though, this was a false belief, but it was believed to be true. So looking at our issue that people have with the church today, their concern, one in five Christians believing that the biggest issue for the church as a whole is false teaching and false teachers, then let's look at the first point. The first point is the teaching is false, just like the bloodletting one. Now, it could be ignorance of the truth, and we know what the Bible says about that. Peter wrote in his letter, 2 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16, he said, "And count the forbearance of our Lord as salvation. So also our beloved brother Paul wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, speaking of this as he does in all his letters. There are some things in them hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures." And this is what part of the problem could be in the churches today. What people are picking up on is this ignorance of the truth. The people who are ministering to them, the teachers, the pastors, the preachers, the priests, the whatever, could be ignorant of the truth because they haven't actually gone into the truth deeply enough and haven't been led by the Holy Spirit to learn what the truth is. And so they do as Peter wrote there. In the words that were written by Paul, Peter said, "Some of the things are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction." And that could be part of what the problem is with the false teaching today. The ignorant and unstable twist the scriptures, and we've seen this many, many times. I mean, all of the cults that exist twist scriptures to their own design, to meet their own ends. So this could be the first thing. It could be the reason why the teaching is false could be just ignorance. Or it could be deliberate lies. And we have many, many warnings about deliberate lies in the Gospels. The first one I looked at was the one in Matthew 7, verse 15, where it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Now, these are people who are coming and they are lying because they are wolves. They are not sheep. They are not shepherds of the sheep. They are there seeking their own ends. They have their own desires, their own things that they want to achieve, and they don't care about the sheep. They don't care about the people in the congregation. They're looking to suit themselves. And so these people are liars because they will lie to get to whatever their ends are. There's another one. In Luke chapter 11, verse 52, where it says, "Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering." So here are some people who not only are liars, they have taken away the keys to knowledge. Now, there are a number of keys to knowledge, and I have spoken about this in other places and written about it in other places. One of the primary keys to knowledge is to follow the gospel in accordance with the way the Lord taught it, in accordance with what the Bible says. And many of these people, particularly the lawyers, the ones who are stuck with the law, don't realise that one of the fundamental reasons why Jesus came was to set us free from the law. But if there are people out there who are saying, "No, you must keep the law, or you must be under the law," then they have missed the point, because they have taken away the key of knowledge, because you can't get the knowledge of freedom when you're under the law. You can't be under the law and separated from law at the same time. It just can't be done. And so what these people are teaching, they're teaching these things to congregations, not realising that not only have they not got it themselves, they're taking it away from others who could get it. And that's what he's saying there. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering. And again, over in Mark chapter 12, verses 38 to 40, it says, "And in his teaching he said, beware of the scribes, who like to go about in long robes and to have salutations in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honour at feast, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And we all know of people who do exactly this. They want to be seen to be people of importance. They want to be seen to be someone that people will look up to. And that's not what the Lord said. When the Lord said, he came as a servant. He didn't come to be a master. He came as a servant to teach and to teach us about humility, because the only way we can come to God is through humility, not through the wearing of long robes, not through having salutations in the marketplaces, not through being someone that people look up to like some kind of a rock star or something like that. And that happens in the church, and we've seen it happen in the church. So it's incredibly important to beware of it, because what they are doing is lying. They're lying about the truth of the new covenant. And again, in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 7, it says, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of stress. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderous, profligates, fierce, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding the form of religion but denying the power of it. Avoid such people, for among them are those who make their way into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and swayed by various impulses, who will listen to anybody and can never arrive at a knowledge of the truth." Did you catch in that scripture that what he's talking about here, he's not talking about the people of the world, he's talking about people holding the form of religion but denying the power of it. He's talking about leaders in the church who are doing these same things. He's talking about leaders in the church, people in the church, who will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient, implacable, slanderous, and so on and so on and so on. This is not the world he's talking about. This is in the church. And this is a serious problem, because this is what people are seeing today as being false teaching and false teachers. And why do they do this? They do this because they are trying to take power over people. They're trying to gain power for themselves rather than power for Jesus Christ. And then finally, he says in Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 to 9, and this is Jesus speaking, he says, "He answered them, 'And why do you transgress the commandment of God? For the sake of your tradition. For God commanded, honour your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honour his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honours me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.'" Now, I have seen this personally in some churches, and I know that other people have seen it too, because the church is full of tradition, many of which do not have anything to do with what's written in the scripture. This is a serious issue, because when they start to teach the traditions of men, when you start to see huge amounts of pomp and ceremony, and I mean, we spoke before about the wearing of long robes, and you see some of these leaders in the church are wearing these robes, and they're gilt with gold, and they have all these fancy hats and crooks and goodness knows what else. And yet, where does that exist in the Bible? Where was it ever said that you needed to do this in the early church? You think about Jesus. What did he wear? Well, we know what he wore. He wore a robe and he wore a couple of other things. You think about Peter and James and John and Andrew and some of those other early disciples and apostles. What did they wear? Probably similar sorts of things. It'll be the equivalent today, probably wearing jeans and shirts and things like that. The issue here is that when they follow traditions created by men and call it something holy, then they're talking absolute rubbish. They have things like holy water. The Bible never mentions holy water, not in the sense that is used in the churches today. I mean, this is one of the classic cases of where something has come in as a tradition, like holy water, and it has taken precedence over the word of the scripture. What was water for? Water was there to drink. Water was there to be baptized in. It's not holy water. They baptize people in the Jordan. They baptize people in the sea. Today, we baptize people in baptismal fonts. We also baptize them in the sea or rivers or lakes or swimming pools or even the bath. But it doesn't turn the water holy. The water is not holy. It's the actual act of baptism that is the important thing, not the water. So that's the first thing. But what about the teaching is not false, but is believed to be false? Well, there's a good scripture in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 to 4, and it says this: "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths." So this is one of the things that has happened. There may not be a problem with the teaching or with the teacher, but the issue is with the congregation or the person. They have itching ears. They want to hear, what's the latest thing? What's the latest thing that's happening? And we see fads go through the church from time to time. We see all these strange and diverse teachings go through from time to time. I mean, some of the things that I've seen the uptake of the "What Would Jesus Do" bracelets. Well, it's a good thing to think about, but there was a fair bit of marketing behind it. I saw a lot of things go on about the prayer of Jabez, and there were little pamphlets and booklets and things speaking about the prayer of Jabez. I've seen things in the Pentecostal church where there were certain practices that took place regarding forms of worship and things like that. And these things, though, people would say, this is the latest thing. What is it? Oh, it's being slain in the spirit. It's being, barking in the spirit. It's being drunk in the spirit. And all of these kinds of things that have happened. But that's not what the Bible says. But it's people who are looking for something new. And yet there is nothing new under the sun, as the Bible tells us. And what we need to know was already written down several thousand years ago. These latest and greatest things are taking people away from the truth. The second part of it is, the teaching is not false, but is believed to be false, could, again, like before, could be ignorance. And so what we see here, we see the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 1 and 2 says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people, you have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord." Now, they may have been ignorant. The teachers may have been ignorant. The people themselves who were receiving the message may have been ignorant and not realised that what they were listening to was wrong. But we see in the end that all of that evil, through ignorance or through deliberate lies too, for that matter, all of that ignorance will be sorted out, because in the end the Lord is going to attend to those teachers, the shepherds, who destroy and scatter the sheep, his sheep. He will attend to those and he'll sort them out. He also says, "Woe to those," and this is in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, he says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Now, these are the people who are taking teachings and calling good evil, or calling evil good. Anyone that's read any of the stuff that I write or has listened to any of my podcasts will pick up the fact that I believe in the receiving of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. It is not something that was put in place for 2,000 years ago to spread the word of the church. That was not the reason why it was given. It was given to us by the Lord, as he has with every other gift that he's ever given to the church. It was given to us for a very specific and defined purpose, and it is as important today as what it was 2,000 years ago when the early disciples first received it at Pentecost. But there are people today who call those gifts evil, who call the gifts of God evil. And yet nothing that is given by God should be called evil. And quite often we find that the people who call good evil or evil good are the ones who don't know what they're talking about. It's human nature to reject something that you don't understand. And so even though something is good and is a good gift of the Lord, they reject it, saying it's evil, because they don't understand it. And that's ignorance. And so that's what this is all about. And what the Bible also tells us in Romans chapter 14, verse 16, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. And so I'm prepared, and every one of us needs to be prepared to defend what it is that we believe that is in the Lord. Now, sometimes we can be wrong, but we also have to be prepared to listen so that we can learn. And we need to be able to listen to what's being said by anyone, basically, because the Lord can use anyone to teach you. Okay, so what do we do about all this? Well, the first thing we need to do is ask the Lord. If we don't know what it is, if we don't know whether a teaching is false or a teacher is false or not, the very first thing we need to do is go and ask the Lord. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 says, "Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Now, if you read that carefully, you'll see that this is not ifs and maybes. It's not ask and it might be given you, or seek and you might find. It was very definite. These are promises of the Lord. If you ask him, if you ask diligently to find out the truth of a matter, whatever that matter is, he will give you the truth. And he goes on, he says in James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all men generously and without reproaching, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind." So the things that we need to do, we need to firstly pray and seek the Lord for insight. We need to go to him and say, "Look, Lord, I don't understand this. I'm not sure what this scripture means. I'm not sure what this teacher or this pastor or this minister is saying." Or he might even say, "Look, Lord, I heard the preacher say this, but as I was reading the Bible, it says the opposite, or it says something different. Lord, I don't understand. I'm confused." And we know that God is not the God of confusion. The devil is the God of confusion. So when you ask and you seek and you knock, the Lord has promised that he will open it up to you. So that's the first thing. Pray and seek the Lord for insight. Secondly, you need to study and immerse yourself in the Word. Gain as much insight and knowledge of the Word as you can, so that when people do say things, and particularly when you listen to preachers or teachers say something and it's wrong, then the Holy Spirit in you can say, "Well, hang on, that's off. That's not quite right. The scripture says this, but he said that." And you can either do one of two things. You can go and speak to the preacher and say, "Look, you said this, but the Bible says this." And if he says, "Oh, yeah, you're right," well, that's great. If he says, "No, you need to listen to me," then I'd be looking for another preacher. Thirdly, you need to test everything you're taught against the Word. And that's basically what I was saying there. Test everything against the Word. Jesus has given us the Word. The Bible that we have is our textbook from Jesus himself, from God himself. And he's given us this so that we can answer any question that might come up. And we saw this with Jesus when he was led up into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and was tempted by the devil. In all of the temptations that were made against him, he answered the devil and overcame the temptation by quoting the Word. In every instance, the devil said, "Do this or do that or do the other thing." And Jesus says, "It is written," and then quoted the scripture that overcame the temptation that the devil was putting up against him. And finally, ask the Lord to bring you to a teacher who will help. Now, I recognise that everyone is at a different stage in their Christian walk. Not everyone can accept the things that that I teach, for instance. I know there are a lot of people who will not accept many of the things that I teach, and that's okay. I understand that. We're all at different places in our walk, and there are things that I have to learn too, and I'm ready, willing, and able to listen to whatever anyone has to say. But the Lord will bring the teacher along at the time that you need that teacher. I mean, the Bible does say in another scripture, the Lord says, "Where I am, there is my servant also." So when you are with the Lord and the Lord is with you, then he will bring his servant along to you to teach you and to show you. Now, finally, there are two positions, really. The teaching is false, or the teaching is not false but believed to be false. So finally, there's one thing that one other scripture that I'd like to say in Luke 12, verses 47 and 48, which says, "And that servant who knew his master's will but did not make ready or act according to his will shall receive a severe beating. But he who did not know," and this is someone who's ignorant, "but he who did not know and did what deserved a beating shall receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much is given, of him will much be required. And of him to whom men commit much, they will demand the more. So all of us, when it comes to the issue of false teachers and false teaching, all of us need to consider what we are believing, what we're accepting, what we're taking in. Because if we come to the place where we are doing the wrong thing, we are accepting the wrong thing, and we know that it's the wrong thing, then like this servant here, you get a severe beating. If you know what's wrong and you continue to do it, or if you know what's right and fail to do it, then you get the severe beating. But if you don't know what's right, if you're ignorant of these things, you're still going to get a beating, but it's not going to be as severe as when you do know what's right and don't do it. And the thing is, all of us are going to get a beating. All of us are going to come up against the fires of life. If we have the teachings and we apply the teachings in our life, the fires will not consume us. If we don't know what they are, the fires will consume us, or we'll get burnt, or we'll get severely hurt, and it will make life a lot more difficult for us. So if you want to find out more, you can subscribe to receive more podcasts, or go across to my website, freegiftfromgod.com. Is the website. There's a blog there. There's a lot of other resources there. I've got a couple of books on there you can download for free, which will tell you more about this. So looking at this, this is the first of the issues that people have said. This is not me saying this. People have said in the survey that I conducted that their number one concern, one in five, said that they have a major concern with false teaching and false teachers in the church. So I'd like to just thank you for listening. Next time, we'll have a look at what the second highest ranked issues that Christians are concerned about regarding the church. Until then, God bless.